Well, before we dive into that disaster, let's do the whip around on a decisive weekend in La Liga. On Friday, Leganés going into the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan and clobbering Sevilla 3-0, mathematically securing safety and dealing Sevilla a really big blow to their hopes of qualifying for next season's Champions League. Sevilla go to Atletico next weekend, so that should be even more fun for them considering Atletico's home form. On Saturday, Levante 4-1 winners over Rayo Vallecano. Rayo relegated after this result. Tough for them. They just didn't win enough of the games that they had to win. Played well against the big teams, but in the end, their defense let them down, Rob.
Yeah, it was a pretty terrible game, all things considered.
It was. I mean, Levante are always usually a pretty good watch. They're entertaining, but you just can't be giving up 4 goals on the regular. Rayo have the league's worst defense. They have the most losses in the league. Kind of makes sense that they would go down. Alaves 0, Real Sociedad 1. Not much to play for here other than Basque pride. Alaves really fading away as of late. Still have had a good season, but really faded after the winter window. Celta Vigo 2, Barcelona 0. Barca playing their C team, their D team at Balaidos.
Yeah, and might as well.
Maxi Gomez and Iago Aspas get the goals. Celta trying their best to stave off relegation. Looks like they might just scrape it with 2 weeks to go. There are 3 points clear of the drop in 14th place. On Sunday, Getafe 2, 10-man Girona 0. Miraculous Getafe, Rob. They are this close to clinching 4th place. Unbelievable.
And it's appropriate that they did it to Girona, who were kind of this team for last season, for part of the year. So, yeah, I mean, it's great for Getafe, a team that for the last few years at least has been in kind of mediocrity land, but this is an incredible achievement.
If they can hold, even if they're going to get into Europe no matter what,
right,
which on its own is just remarkable, but they could be in the Champions League next year. Their strike force has been in excellent form, and they just continue to play a really intense defensive style. They get the goals. They always get the goals they need. They do have Barcelona next weekend at the Camp Nou, which could give Valencia a little bit of a lifeline, but we'll see how that goes. All in all, Getafe are looking very good. Eibar 1-0 winners over Real Betis, who have not won in 5. Quique Setién is likely going to get the sack. Talk about disappointing seasons. The one Betis have had is really something else. Real Madrid 3, Villarreal 2. Madrid still alive in the race for 2nd place. They get the win over the Villarreal team, who really could have used a point. They sit 16th in the table, just 3 points clear of the drop. Real Valladolid get a huge win over Athletic, 1-0, to lift them out of the relegation zone with 2 weeks to go. Athletic dealt a pretty big blow in their race for the Europa League. They might still get in, though. Huesca also relegated this weekend as they got pounded at home by Valencia, 6-2. Valencia were up 5-0 at halftime, and they are still very much alive in the race for 4th. I think they have head-to-head over Getafe as well. So if those two teams end up level, Valencia will finish 4th, which I don't think anyone wants.
No, we want to see Getafe in Champions League.
No, I don't want to see Valencia back there. Whenever they get there, they just go out in the group stage. I mean, Getafe might too, but still would be great to see a team like Getafe playing in the Champions League over Valencia.
Oh, absolutely, especially for the competitiveness of the league.
Absolutely. It's a great advertisement for La Liga and the parity that exists there to have another team finish 4th. I think it's great. All right, well, let's go back to Saturday and discuss the nightmare at Cornea, where Espanyol beat Atletico 3-0, arguably the result of the weekend in La Liga. I guess we start with, first of all, this match doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of the standings. I mean, Atletico still need 1 point to clinch 2nd place. More likely than not, they're going to get that 1 point either against Sevilla or against Levante on the last day. But Jesus, this was just horrible, Rob. Was this their worst performance of the season? I mean, I guess you can't say it's worse than what happened in Turin against Juventus, but this one's up there. This was really bad, wasn't it?
I mean, I don't think it's really one of the worst results of the season, simply because there was so little to play for,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
And they kind of, in looking at it, two of the goals were a penalty and an own goal. And granted, neither were particularly pretty, but yeah, I don't know. I found it kind of hard to get really annoyed about this match in the way that I was against, I mean, even for like a draw earlier in the season, because then at least there was something on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, this match just didn't have much meaning. I mean, yeah, it's a bad result, and Atletico really did not play well, but, I mean, there wasn't much on the line here. Atleti, again, still need just that one point to clinch second place and a place in that new Supercopa format. But, yeah, in Saudi Arabia, of course, because,
yes.
because money. But anyway, this was not a good result. I think on any way you slice it, but the importance of the match just didn't really. Yeah, this was one you got annoyed with, but not one that you say, you know, ugh, that's awful. We're gonna go on a rampage here. I do think, however, there are concerns, somewhat serious concerns, that have been there all season that just came back to life in this match and kind of further highlighted the need for a huge reboot in the summer.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at some of the individuals and what went on Saturday, I think that is sort of where the more concerns lie than
yeah.
with the overall result.
Yeah, the Godin own goal was just that, just before halftime. That's one of those things. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like,
yeah.
that just skittered off his foot. Oblak just could do nothing but watch it. That's just one of those things where, you know, again, wrong place, wrong time. It's just one of those weird deflections.
Well, and it comes with the territory when you're a center back. These things can happen.
Yeah, even to a guy like Godin. Oscar Melendo, who tore Atleti apart last year in this fixture, actually the one in Madrid, he set up Borja Iglesias' second goal. Just really not very good defending. Atleti were really caught out there. Felipe Luis in particular was caught out, not for the first time this season. And then the Iglesias penalty, I don't think was a penalty. I think Puado really played it up. I think he took a dive, honestly. Juanfran kind of pushed him. There was some contact, physical contact in the box, but I think he really sold it. Iglesias got the pen, though. The result wasn't in doubt at that point, so eh. But yeah, 3-0. I don't think that... It's not flattering. I don't think Atleti deserved much more than this. What were these substitutions?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that.
What the hell were these substitutions, though?
Oh, they're so weird.
Yeah, so Savage comes out at halftime. I think Savage was hurt, but Correa replaces him because Atleti need to, you know, get some attacking verve back. And Diego Lopez made a couple good early saves, one on Morata, one on Thomas Lemar, but after that really didn't have anything to do. So Correa comes on the hour mark. Vitolo replaces Francisco, but Vitolo and Francisco Montero come on. Rodri and Thomas Lemar come off, which Rodri coming off is never a good sign. Atleti lose so much solidity in midfield, which they need. I know they were behind 2-0 at this time, but they really needed that. I don't know why you throw on a defender. I don't know why Vitolo wasn't starting this match with so little to play for. I don't know. These would. And the system stayed the same. This was just a very, very strange pattern here for Cholo. I'm not really sure what he was trying to do.
And Correa basically added nothing.
There's a new one.
Yeah, shocker, I know. but yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of get it. Since Savage came off, he sort of needed a replacement for him. And Atleti had just given up the second goal. But yeah, they were just really terrible substitutions. I don't think any of them really had that much of an impact. I mean, I guess Vitolo did the best, but I mean, none of them really did anything.
No, I mean, Montero should have come on at halftime, I think. If you know you're already a defender down, like that's just...
Or maybe even start him. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, what was the point?
I mean, just give the guy some reps. I mean, he's 20, 21 years old. He played a bit earlier this season and was okay. I mean, you have nothing to play for. You're already behind. Why not throw him on, or at least, you know, start him?
Yeah.
Or at least bring him on at halftime, give him even more minutes. But that's neither here nor there. yeah, that just
Saul was really good, but other than that, I don't really think there were too many fantastic individual performances.
And I think Godin did well, other than the away, the own goal. Saul played well. Away goals, things that Leti haven't scored this season. Do you know, in at Leti's losses this season, they have been outscored 20-1.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. If Atleti go behind, they're not going to win. I think just once this season have they come from behind to win a match. And that was against Athletic at home, that crazy 3-2 back in November.
Oh, right.
It's like the one time this season they have come back.
It is true. This team does not do that.
No. And aside,
yeah, really, really don't.
And aside from the personnel, we'll talk a little bit more about the personnel in a sec, but this just, again, highlights Atleti's really quite poor away form this season. Atleti are third in the away form table in La Liga. 7 wins, 6 draws, 5 losses, but that is not nearly good enough to contend for the title. You look at what Barca have done away from home, just 2 losses, 11 wins, 38 points away from home. That is 11 more than Atletico, and that's not essentially where the title was decided, but it played a giant role. Atleti were not able to win away from home this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strange iteration of this team, and it just feels like a lot needs to change. I mean, a lot of things just feel really stale at the moment.
And that's, again, not new. We've been discussing that for a year, longer than a year. I mean, this is our third season doing the podcast, and I feel like we've been talking about it for most of that time, that things need to change. I mean, look at this defense. Look at the players that started in defense in this game. You know, you have 34-year-old Juan Fran, who I gave away a harsh penalty, but didn't play well anyway. Stefan Savic, who is 28, but plays like he's 48. Diego Godin, 33 years old, is going to enter in the summer. Felipe Luis, 33 years old, he's also leaving this summer. There really was no reason not to start Montero, or, no, not to, why didn't Santiarias play, at least? Why didn't Tony Moya come back up and play some center back? The results don't matter. The performances do. The results don't necessarily don't, if that makes sense.
Right.
I mean, just look at this defense.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, just look at the defense and the state it's in when you have to play three guys 33 and older.
I mean, surely both Juan Fran and Felipe have to go this summer, surely.
At least one of them will. Juan Fran, they're going to talk about a renewal after the season. My guess is he's going to renew his contract. That's my guess.
I could see it happening, just kind of sticking around.
Yeah, but Felipe is going to go. Godin is going to go, despite Godin still being pretty dang good. He's going to leave. Savage will likely be the third or fourth center back next season. And Atleti have to buy like 4 or 5 new defenders. We know what needs to happen here. I think they know what needs to happen here. It's now a matter of going out and doing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we've been talking about it for a couple weeks now about how much help this team needs.
Just a lot. There needs to be a lot of money coming in this summer, and there needs to be a lot of money going out this summer, particularly with an investment focused on this defense. It's still relatively, I wouldn't say amazing, but relatively impressive that Atleti still have the league's best defense. A lot of that is down to Oblak. He's going to win his 4th straight Zamora trophy for the fewest goals conceded. Again, a lot of that is down to Oblak, because this defense really is not good, especially away from home.
I totally agree. I mean, this is the worst defense Oblak's played in front of since he's been at Atleti, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Last year, you kind of saw some cracks appear, but Atleti, you know, went on to win a trophy. They won the Super Cup earlier this season. We were expecting kind of a one last hurrah for this older group of players, but the Europa League would have been after the Europa League final would have been a really good time to start this reboot. Atleti didn't do it. I've mentioned before, you know, they tried to kind of tweak things. They kind of try to comb over the edges and bring in some supplementary talent when Atleti really needed to rebuild last summer. And now they have been left with no choice, because, you know, once again, they have really failed to contend for La Liga. They were knocked out much, much earlier than anticipated in the Champions League for the second year running. They had a disastrous cup run, and they lost to a team that might get relegated in Girona, which is a really bad look.
God, I mean, I don't want to wish relegation on a team, but given how badly they've beaten us, I wouldn't mind.
No, I wouldn't particularly mind either seeing Girona go down.
And plus, their Man City affiliation. You know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. That also is a reason why I wouldn't be too sad if they went back down. And plus, you'd like to see one of the Segunda teams stay up. Right. You'd like to see Valladolid stay up, just so that...
Me too. Valladolid are my choice of Segunda team as well.
Yeah, just so that all three of those teams don't go down. But, yeah, I mean, this was just kind of another example of how Atleti desperately need to turn this around in the summer and desperately need to get in fresh blood. And they look tired. They looked out of it. They looked out of the zone. And Simeone said after the game they need to value the race for second place. That's a pretty strong indictment of his team.
I think so. And I feel like Cholo has to know that this team needs a lot of work, even at this point. I mean, we know how much he loves his guys, but he's given them as many chances as he reasonably should have. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and they've given him all these years of service. Like, it's time to put some of them out to pasture.
Yep.
You know.
It is. But, hey, I mean, it is kind of crazy that Oblak is going to go join, like, third or second for most ever Zamora trophies. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's just such a great goalkeeper. He's just wonderful. He made that one save down 2-0, that fingertip save over the crossbar. Just ridiculous keeping his team in it however he could. Clearly the season's MVP in my book, kind of just like he was last year.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think with Griezmann kind of having an inconsistent season, which isn't entirely his fault, but Grizzy having kind of an inconsistent year, especially off the back of last year, I don't think you can really argue that Oblak hasn't been this team's best player.
Well, I'm sure we'll have our thrilling end-of-season awards special.
Yes, and he's going to probably clean up at that ceremony.
Yes. More than likely.
Yeah. So, while the result doesn't necessarily matter, Atleti still need just the one point that they're probably going to get next week. It's the performance and the pride that matters, and Atleti just really did not give a very good account of themselves. Now, there is fatigue to play a role in this. There is the lack of something to play for that also plays a role in this. But, I mean, come on. Losing 3-0 at Espanyol just really isn't... That's not good. And these games are typically really close. I think the last five of them had been just one goal in each of those games, if that. And this time, Espanyol kind of ride out. Atleti getting a couple early chances. Pedrosa, the kid at left back, was phenomenal. Pretty much created that first goal on his own. Borja Iglesias had a really nice season there, particularly early in the early going when Espanyol were second at one point. But no, Iglesias is overall 15 goals now. He's had a very, very good season for them. So this Espanyol team is not, they're not a bunch of bums. They're not lacking in talent, but Atleti should have put in a better performance than this no matter what.
Well, I think Atleti should maybe make a call and see if old Pedrosa has a cheap release clause, because getting in a young left back is certainly high on the priority list.
Yeah, 20-year-old left back who's only made 10 appearances in the league this year, less than 600 minutes, but he was very, very good on Saturday. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, Espanyol, I feel like for a while now, just had a really solid team with guys like Sergi Darder that feel like they've been around forever at this point.
Yeah, Esteban Granero, too. He's old as hell.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, the new sensation that is Wu Li is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's
good. He didn't do much, but he was still fun to watch.
He's been quite good since he came over he was in China.
Yeah, he's the all-time Chinese league goal scorer.
There you go.
Yeah, so more than just a marketing thing, which I think he was kind of unfairly marketed as.
It was, yeah, because he does have some talent. He's put in some good performances since his arrival. But yeah, Espanyol are kind of your classic mid-table team. They can pull off results like this, but then they can also, you know, lose some really embarrassing ones. They've been in good form, though. They've unbeaten in their last seven since they lost to Barcelona at the end of March. They're ending the season in good form. They might have a chance to win each of their last two games, maybe crack the top 10. But yeah, Espanyol are kind of your classic stable mid-table side. They're always around 9th, 10th, 11th, around there. They're 10th this year. Not too good, but not too bad. Certainly capable of this result, which they pulled off. And yeah, you just got to hope for Atleti's sake that they show up next weekend, next Sunday, because all the games are set for next Sunday. It's doing what the Premier League does and having all the kickoff times at the same time for the penultimate weekend.
Yes, for the very exciting title race that will absolutely be decided.
Yes, at least that's going to happen in the Premier League. But in La Liga, I mean, all that's left to play for is that final relegation place and, yes, sorting out 4th, 5th, and 6th, which will likely all get done next weekend. I mean, there are five teams fighting for that to avoid relegation, starting with Celta and going down to Girona. I think any of those five could get relegated. I mean, Sevilla have a lot to play for next weekend when they go to Atletico, but Sevilla are also pretty bad away from home, and they never beat the top three away from home, so I would expect an Atleti win there. And then against Levante on the final week, Levante might still be fighting to avoid finishing 18th.
Yeah, they might have everything to play for.
And they have that huge six-pointer against Girona next Sunday.
Right.
And depending on how that goes, Levante could be in a real spot of bother entering that final game, and they would really need to win.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting, and even though Atleti aren't involved in anything, at least we'll get to watch an exciting relegation battle.
Yeah, at least there's that. Atleti could have a say in it at the end of the day. What else from the Espanyol game, or not necessarily the game itself, but what if any conclusions can you draw? What new things did you learn from this match?
I'm not sure I learned any new things, but just kind of made me more sure about the old things I'd been nervous about.
Yeah, that's about where I was. I mean, this was annoying. It's always annoying to lose 3-0 to a team you should beat, but yeah, it's not all that surprising. There's just not much going on right now. There's not much to play for other than pride. I mean, Atletico had been playing well. They won 4 in a row up to this point, but just going on the road has been so tough for them this season. I mean, only 27 points from 18 games away from home. Again, that's the third highest total in La Liga. I mean, no one other than Barcelona has really been good away from home this year in La Liga, which is kind of weird. I would expect that to change next season. I mean, all these teams are struggling to pick up points on the road. Getafe in particular have drawn 11 games from their 18 away from home, and they're in fourth.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's been a very weird Liga season. I mean, I guess in many ways uncompetitive, just because Atleti could never pull the results off.
Yep, and that's really, you can point to, you know, two or three results, sure, but this is cumulative. Like, Atletico all season have struggled to win away from home. I mean, starting with that loss to Celta back in September, that was a really bad performance. The 4-0 at Dortmund, the 1-0 at Betis, the 3-0 in Italy, you know, the 2-0 at San Mamés right after that. I mean, these are just performances that are not befitting of a title candidate.
Yeah, and you just can't do that kind of thing if you're going to compete for the title.
Just every,
and, yeah, it's just an overall disappointing year, I think.
Just overall, you look at how consistent and how regular, as the Spanish phrase goes, you look at how regular Barca are just every single year. It's tough to compete with that, yes. But this is only an 83 point league this year,
right?
Quote unquote only.
Yeah, indeed, so, indeed.
Yeah, and yeah, not like Barca have anything to play for either. They put out like their C team against Celta,
exactly,
and were willing to take the L so they can go do whatever they're going to do at Anfield tomorrow.
And it's not like this is a particularly beastly Barcelona team. Obviously, they still have Messi, so that makes them pretty scary. But beyond that, it's not like an all-timer.
Yeah, Liverpool didn't deserve that. I know this is my bias showing a little bit, but Liverpool did not. They did not. Don't start with me. They did not deserve that. The 3-0 L. They did not deserve that.
Yeah, but when you're playing against Messi, these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing against the greatest player in history, and this is. Things snowball, and that is what
turns out he's pretty good at basically everything.
man, they're really going to win the Champions League at a stadium called Wanda. That's going to suck.
Yeah, probably.
That's
I mean, I'm just already preparing myself for, like, the week and a half of hype about the Ajax team if they make it to the final, and then within the first 12 minutes, Barca are going to be, like, 3-0 up. It's going to be like, all right, well, there we go.
Oh, don't say that.
You know what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm pulling for Ajax so hard.
Aren't we all?
We are, and they're, like, the last great hope.
Yes. The last great non-offensive team in the Champions League.
Yeah, they are truly awesome. Although, yeah, if it's Barca Spurs in the final, are you even going to watch?
No. I mean, unless I check at halftime and Barca are like 6-0 up, then maybe.
Yeah, I doubt you'd even watch if it were Barca and Spurs.
No, I think I'll pass. I'll go do something else.
Yeah, the Spurs team that's going to once again finish above your beloved Gunners.
And once again finish with nothing.
Yeah, what on earth happened against Brighton? I didn't watch. I just saw the result. What the hell happened?
You know, it was pretty bad. One of those where they play like shit.
Not anything new.
I don't know. This Arsenal team is pretty abysmal in general, but it's kind of hilarious to me that there's still a very realistic opportunity that they end up in the Champions League.
Because if they win the Europa League.
Exactly. Which, you know, if that happens, would just be ridiculous, because they're more than likely the sixth best team in England, or fifth, depending on what you think of Chelsea.
I mean, you have these two world-class forwards, and then you have... You're still starting Nacho Monreal. I mean, that kind of sums up. That kind of sums up Arsenal.
Well, and Mustafi. So.
And yeah, your favorite.
Oh God, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say at this point. He gave away a penalty, by the way.
Well, I do think you guys are going to go through to the final. I think 3-1. I know Valencia. You and I know Valencia are very good at home. But two goals might be too much for them to overturn.
I just don't think they have the firepower is the problem. I think they're a decent defensive team, but up front they just ain't got it.
Yeah, if Marcelino starts four center backs again.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean...
That was gross.
Or Camaro.
Or, yeah. Our old pal.
Oh, man. Best of luck to you, Gamero. Coming off the bench wherever you're going to come off the bench next.
Yeah, does he stay at Valencia?
Who knows? Who knows?
That's actually a good question. I guess it depends where Valencia are next year, whether they're in Europa or whether they're in the Champions League. If they're in the Champions League.
He's not the Europa League striker.
Yeah, he really is. If they are back in the Champions League, I guess they could upgrade. But yeah, Gamero kind of is your classic second tier competition. I mean, he's won the Europa League four times in his career. That kind of sums it up. I always liked him. He was a fine player, but yeah, just not of the requisite quality.
Yeah, agreed.
Again, Atleti hosts Sevilla next Sunday afternoon, and followed up by a trip to Levante the following Sunday, and that will mercifully end the season.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's yeah. You know, I guess we could do this. I guess we have enough at this point to kind of give the season a letter grade.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we have enough. What would you give this season overall?
C+.
That's about where I landed too.
Yeah, passing, but not so passing that you feel good about it.
But yeah, barely.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, they at least didn't fail.
Yeah, C+ is about where I land on this. We know where they're going to finish. We know what they've already done. We know what this team has been capable of. I mean, chances are they're not going to get to 55 league goals this year.
Which is pretty pathetic, considering this team has Diego Costa and Alvaro Morata and Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah, it's a pretty shocking return, all things considered.
It is very shocking.
They're not going to get to 55 league goals.
I mean, you just can't call the season anything other than an underachievement.
Yes, I think that we're in agreement there. Considering the hype that surrounded it, the potential to host a Champions League final, and this is how it's going to end.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty terrible.
Oh, by the way, Nikola Kalinic, again, could not get off the bench against Espanyol.
Lord knows where he's going to go next year.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You kind of feel for him at this point, because he was, the Italian media, I remember, pretty expressly said this was, explicitly said this was a Cholo request. Simeone asked for him. And, like, he's barely played him.
It is pretty incredible. And I just don't know how Atleti are going to really move him like that.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a loan.
Yeah, probably.
And, yeah, probably send him back to Italy, maybe. I can't see him going anywhere else in Spain. Probably goes back to Italy. Just, ugh. But that's for the end of season. Yeah. That's for the end of season pods. We'll kick those off in about 3 weeks. Before we sign off, though, Atletico's ladies, Atletico Femenino, they clinched a third consecutive league crown on Sunday with a 3-1
in a row.
A 3-1 win at Real Sociedad. They were on the front page of Marca Monday morning. That's awesome. Women's football doesn't get a whole lot of coverage in Spain. Atleti, though, they deserve it. Three straight league titles. That's incredible. I think they've won 28 of 30 games.
Well, and not only is it sensational that they've done a three-peat, but also I believe it was this year that at the Wanda they set the record for highest attendance in a women's game in Spain. So that's fantastic. They've been brilliant for the last 3 years, and I'm glad that the fans are supporting them properly.
Yeah, it's a great achievement. It looks really good for the club. 28 wins from 30 games, a plus 77 goal difference, most goals in the league against the Barca, over a Barca team that is in the Women's Champions League final.
Yes, exactly, and has spent a lot of money on some international players.
Yeah, just overall a great season, a great run for Atletico Femenino. Three straight league titles, no matter how you slice it, that's pretty remarkable.
It's pretty unreal. It is pretty unreal. And for a women's team that really historically doesn't have a record of a ton of success, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is actually the second iteration of Atletico Femenino.
Right, right. And, I mean, I think we've seen kind of in the world of football this year that women's football has gotten a bit more coverage, which I think is great leading up to the Women's World Cup this summer. But, yeah, there's still a lot of ground to be made up there.
Absolutely. Esther Gonzalez got the hat trick in that finale to clinch the title. Just awesome stuff. Very, very happy for them.
Yes, and Esther's been crucial to the team. I mean, she's without her, this team would not have gotten to this three-peat.
Yep.
So.
That's it for us. Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
It was a pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. And have a look at our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. You can become a ColtGenero Chat amigo from as little as $3 a month. You get access to our bonus pods. We're going to do another international affairs desk before the season ends. Those are exciting. I always love those podcasts. We also are going to do rumor roundups as the summer, as we get into summer, because Atleti are going to be linked with a lot of players. Patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat is the place to be if you want all that bonus content. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.